Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And let me ask all of you HR leaders out there, when was the last time you looked forward to doing your HR reporting? Said no HR leader ever. That's right. We know that most of you are going through this manual, super time-consuming and painful process of pulling a lot of messy, crappy spreadsheets from all your different HR systems to try to turn that into one monster, messy, crappy spreadsheet to be able to get value and insights. But a lot of you know there has to be a better way. We know a lot of you don't have experience in data visualization, data aggregation, data analysis, but you know what? Maybe you didn't go to school for it. Maybe you didn't have that in your professional experience, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the ability to be as data-driven as possible. That's why we built Employee Cycle, your all-in-one people dashboard that has pre-built connections to all the different HR systems you're using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, ADP, TriNet, Greenhouse, 15.5, Office Vibe, Reflective, you name it, to be able to connect to all your systems and pull all your most important and valuable people data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze all that data from one unified view. Please visit employeecycle.com. We would love to give you a demo and learn how we can automate your HR reporting and analytics process. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Siona Henderson. She's the head of people at StreetSense. And today we're going to discuss how to measure HR effectiveness. Siona, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Siona, welcome!
Wow. Thank you so much for that warm welcome, Bruce. I'm delighted to be here.
Awesome. Thank you for deciding to spend some time with us on the show. We really appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
So, Siona, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
That is a great question. So I ended up in HR because I started working in retail early in my career. And I had a good friend of mine, you know, tell me about a job opportunity. And I loved helping people and loved recruiting when I worked in retail. And so back in 2003, been in HR for quite a while, started working for an organization and fell in love with it. It's been, a passion of mine, you know, for the past 17 years. So I kind of organically fell into it. And if you can't tell through my voice, I'm a people person. For me, it's been a really, really fun career.
Awesome. And can you give us a quick 60-second overview of what is StreetSense and what does your company do?
Absolutely. So I work for an organization, as you said, StreetSense. We are a creative collective. We do two things really well. We create places and brands that people love. And so we have three core organizations: consulting, we have marketing, and we also have our design organizations. And the verticals that we operate in are hospitality, commercial real estate, multifamily, and consumer lifestyle brands.
Awesome. Appreciate that. So today we're going to talk about measuring HR effectiveness. But before we talk about how to measure anything, we first need to define what exactly we're talking about here. Can you give us a sense of what is HR effectiveness and what does that mean to you?
Absolutely. So I'm going to do this two ways. In short, HR effectiveness is how effective is HR within your organization? And so I think of this in two key components. One, from a business perspective, are they adding value for the business? And then I look at it from the lens of a people perspective. So HR effectiveness, kind of the key components, I would say, is looking at your HR model, your HR strategy, how does HR function, how is HR viewed, and what value are they bringing to the organization?
So I want to go through those because that's a great way to provide a framework for what this looks like. So I think the first thing you said was HR model. What does that mean and what does that look like?
Absolutely. So model, I'm referring to model being the operating model. What is the structure? Is it an HR team of one? Are you a larger organization where you have an HR service center? Do you have a benefits organization? Do you have a compensation organization? How is the model structured to help enable the business? So making sure that you have the key roles within human resources to support people. I think historically HR has sometimes been viewed as a more administrative function. And I think companies building capabilities within HR around organizational development or organizational design or working with businesses on strategy engagements from an OD perspective. So I think it's really around, like, does your HR operating model enable the business and does it enable employees? So that's what I mean by model.
Okay. And then let's go to the next component that you mentioned. What's the next most important thing when it comes to looking at HR effectiveness?
Yeah, so I think that that from my perspective, I would say first, it is getting details from your key stakeholders that you work with. So having survey information, some organizations do net promoter scores, others look at pulse survey data. I know your organization specializes in data, so actually getting an aggregate of turnover metrics, getting details from Glassdoor, getting candidate feedback. So being able to have holistic data on everything from recruiting to how you onboard your folks, to how you retain folks, to engagement and employee well-being score. So I'd say a great starting point would be getting that information and data so you know what's working within your HR team and you know where the gaps exist. So getting that data back and you'll be able to identify, okay, is it our recruiting process that's not working? Is it that employees have negative feedback about benefits? Do we have a compensation issue? And that's where things lie. Do managers feel like we provide good advisory services to them? Or is the feedback that we've gotten that they need more information? Is the feedback that you might get from a survey that people are looking for more information about how they can grow their career or your organization? So I'd say that data is a powerful tool to start with so that you can use those insights to then shape a plan to be more effective.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of HR roles either still are and or perceived as very administrative and not that strategic. A lot of the things that you're mentioning here, I'm not quite sure how many HR leaders are actually holding themselves accountable in this way, or that they really understand this framework to have even known where to start. So when it comes to HR leaders and looking to track HR effectiveness, is this the CEO really looking at this and coming up with this plan? Or does HR from its own department need to say, here are all the things that we're going to hold ourselves accountable to, and this is what we're going to track in regards to the goals that we set for ourselves?
I absolutely believe it's something that HR leaders should be owning, that they should come in, do an evaluation and assessment. And I can go a step further and give a proposed methodology for doing this. And that would, my recommendation would be to look at every single area within the HR discipline within the organization. And a quick method is using red, yellow, green. Red is it's hot, it needs work. Yellow, it's It needs a little bit of work, but there's progress being made. And so in terms of the organization recruiting, maybe it's okay. If it's green, that means it's great, right? You don't need to dissect that particular area. And so you can basically come to this metrics by doing an HR SWOT. And what's great about this is you can do this with many people within the HR department, get their feedback. It can be a group activity. It increases engagement so that then after you make the evaluation and assessment, you can proactively work on change plans to basically address the gaps identified in that assessment. And then bring those solutions back to your CEO or leadership team to talk about your model, the gaps, and in what ways that you could be more effective. And this methodology also gives HR leaders leverage, right? So they're going to be armed with data and information when they say, hey, I want to go buy a training and development resource, or I'm looking to elevate, our efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I want to bring in a speaker because we're starting a speaker series. This is a gap that I've identified in this assessment. So I think it can become a powerful tool for an HR leader to have a more strategic seat at the table because they're armed with this information that's, that they've compiled.
That's really fascinating. So what I would like to do now is to work together to come up with some type of step-by-step plan, if you will, to help the HR audience and the listeners figure out how they can do this for themselves. One of the things we try to do is to always leave our audience with some type of roadmap and framework that's actionable from the guest. So when it comes to creating a strategy for HR effectiveness, you alluded to this before in regards to data, but if I'm listening to you and I'm hanging on to every single word and I'm thinking, Siona, I want to do this, where do I start? Because this sounds very overwhelming. And you just mentioned a whole bunch of things about data and gap and model and talking to CEOs and doing all these different things. But, you know, when people try to focus on everything, you know, then you end up focusing on nothing. So where do you start?
So I would say the first place to start would be obviously with data as a step one. A good starting point would be thinking about the employee life cycle. So starting with recruiting. So thinking about how do you bring an employee in? You recruit them, then you onboard them, you deploy them, you invest and develop them, and you retain them. So if you were to chunk it in that respect of starting with recruiting, if an HR leader could say, okay, we're just going to start to analyze one area, and we'll use data to analyze this one area, and then we'll go to the next area. And then we'll talk about once they've joined, let's look at the data as it relates to their well-being and engagement. So I would take it one area at a time within the employee life cycle. I think that that would be my recommendation for the starting point.
Now, when you're thinking about those different areas you're going to focus on, do you look at it from a sequential standpoint? And so as you mentioned, recruiting, and maybe you were mentioning recruiting because it's really important, or were you mentioning recruiting because it's the first part of the employee life cycle? Because if so, should you just keep going after that and then onboarding and then compensation and then training and all the other things that happens within the employee life cycle? Or should you focus more on the areas that demand attention today and areas where you may have a gut feeling of where they need the most help?
So for me, I just started there because it's at the beginning of the life cycle. My recommendation would actually be the latter, which you just shared, which is basically to look at your data and start in the areas where there are gaps. So where you see there are challenges, you have employee feedback, you have feedback from leadership. And it's not only important to look there, but I would also say being able to go back to your key stakeholders and partners within the business. So be it team leads, be it a CEO, to say, hey, here's what the data is telling me. Let's also overlay the other piece of analysis, which is what are the priorities for the business? What would be most impactful for the business? So let's say I look at the data and I see we have an opportunity in training, career development, and also benefits. Well, I might start with career development and training because I know that we'd have the biggest impact on the business if we could make improvements there and be more effective as a starting point. So I think in this climate where HR leaders are also driving business effectiveness, I think it's also important to not only have an employee-centered approach, but also a business-centered approach when you're prioritizing where to start first based on what the data is telling you.
I love how you're breaking this apart, and I just want to keep digging deeper so that our audience really understands all of this in the most simplistic form. So when it comes to connecting the dots between your different departments and the overall success and impact of the business, should you rely only on yourself as an HR leader to understand how to connect those dots, or is it always mandatory to go to the management team, the leadership team, and the CEO and say, what are the most important business drivers today? And then they help you work through, or at least give some insight into what they believe would make the biggest impact. Because what I found is that a lot of HR leaders might not exactly know which areas they can focus on, which will actually create the biggest impact for their business.
I absolutely think you have to do this in partnership. We all elevate one another. And so I think you can't form HR solutions without input from the business on their biggest challenges. In the talent management discipline within HR, you start with business strategy. So a part of that data gathering and that data collection is me talking with my CEO to say, what are the biggest challenges in the business? How can I help you solve them? Tell me about the strategy. Great. I'm listening for those cues. Okay. We have this challenge in this department. Okay. We need to hire, or we need to reskill the workforce, or, oh, we really need to focus on our long-term incentive package to retain people because we are seeing more market demand for this type of talent that we have within our collective. So absolutely starts with those formal strategy conversations and informal conversations. So what you hear from another leader or a manager, or maybe there's a new contract that's being ramped up and you're going to need to hire 50 people and I hear about that. Great. That's my cue to go back to my talent acquisition manager so they can start preparing. So absolutely, you have to do this in cooperation with the business to best know where we can plug in, because HR is not effective if we're not helping people or the business thrive.
Got it. All right. So I've looked at the data across my entire employee lifecycle. I now understand where there are potential gaps. I've taken that data and presented it to our management team and CEO. There's some collaboration that happened. And now I have a much better understanding of how I can make an impact on the business. Where do I go from here?
Great question. So for me, you go to creating a micro strategy slash execution plan, which just is a project plan for how you're going to make the changes. And then I think the most important thing with any HR changes is also creating like a change plan, which might be a communication plan. So you're anticipating with the rollout of the new initiative or the new item that you might want to implement. What are the communication components? What stakeholders do you need to get involved and engaged in this change? And the only other tip I'm going to offer is I'm incredibly big into training. I think it is incredibly important that whenever you're rolling out something new, you get everyone engaged, you get them trained up on the new process, everyone's aware. And my only other tip for HR folks out there would be to cascade the messages. So, you know, don't send it all company message out, cascade it out to leaders first, make sure they have a message to share with their teams to build engagement on maybe a new HR initiative or program so they can help sell it. And they can invite people to, you know, take advantage of the new initiative, the new benefit, the new career development resource. So making managers your partner in the rollout and the HR change management is another key step.
Interesting. So now I've gotten to this step and I've done a great job of rolling this out and I feel that it's actually making a difference, but I really don't know how much of a difference it's making and how much of a difference it needs to make. So how do I actually go about setting goals and realistic expectations as well as stretch goals and maybe huge, really big ambitions for what this looks like so that I can understand if I did an okay job versus I totally knocked it out the park?
So I'll answer this question in two ways. In terms of setting a strategy around that or knowing did I do a good job or not, I think at the beginning of any project, you have to go, what's the outcome? and then what will success look like? What does success look like? One framework for doing that, and that's something we recently implemented at my organization, and that is implemented objectives and key results so that you know what is the outcome and what is winning look like, you know. And so I think at the end of any rollout, it's about sending out another follow-on pulse survey to go, great, did employee satisfaction improve in this area? Did the business reach X, Y, and Z goal because we were able to hire X number of people? So whatever that initiative is, there should be a measurable outcome so that you can measure impact and effectiveness. And so for me, it's through survey feedback, or it might be something more finite that you know that you're moving the needle. So I think using the objectives and key results model, certainly sending out a follow-on pulse survey to measure effectiveness, and then the qualitative component of getting stakeholder feedback from your leaders, from your team, your HR team on what you're hearing on the ground is another good measuring stick as well.
And then last question I have for you. One of the things we also try to do as guests are providing a roadmap for doing whatever the topic is talking about, we also try to help people avoid pitfalls. And so are there any things that you've experienced yourself or you've seen that other HR leaders had as blind spots that kept them from successfully rolling out this HR effectiveness strategy and actually creating the outcomes that they wanted to happen?
I think one of the biggest barriers is that an HR person can be so focused on our day-to-day because it's so busy, especially in COVID-19. I know for me it is that we don't take the time to do this strategic planning and to really develop a holistic process around how our teams could be more effective. Another potential pitfall is limiting ourselves to just what we know in HR. So a really great thing is to research, read, what's the latest and greatest trends. COVID-19 is causing me to rethink and question everything. Why did I shape a policy this way? Is that policy truly employee supportive? Or did I just implement this policy because this is the way that I've always done it? And so I think another barrier is sort of getting out of our own way and being open to customization and learning new things. The last thing I'll say, a topic for another day for us to discuss, is I'm looking into how I can generate user-generated training content in my organization. So also getting feedback and help from kind of people outside of the HR realm to plug in and use their ingenuity and creativity to improve your processes and your effectiveness. I work for a company with a lot of cool creatives. And so they're really challenging me to think in a non-traditional way about how I support a creative collective, you know, in this climate, which I love. So I think being more open-minded is my last tip as you're endeavoring to do this work. And then the only other thing is, like, we all need confidence. So, like, don't be afraid to kind of dive in and go, okay, I've never done a strategy, and maybe I'm not done a SWOT. I've never really done an audit on my HR team to go, are we effective or not? I'm nervous. So I think just also being comfortable with being able to analyze and figure out, you know, how you can be better and how your team can be better. Because we're here to serve the business. We're here to serve our employees. So it's fun.
Siona, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for dropping all these gems and nuggets of wisdom. We really appreciate it. You gave us a great framework to be able to learn from, and I'm sure that a lot of the listeners out there have benefited from all of your experience and knowledge. So thanks for being on the show.
Woo! Siona!
Thank you for having me, Bruce. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you as well. So where can people find you and Street Sense online?
They can find Street Sense at streetsense.com. And they can find me online on my website. I actually have my own website, SionaHenderson.com, or on LinkedIn.
Fancy HR person. We'll definitely put your personal website and everything else in the show notes as well. So for all you listeners out there, if you enjoyed listening to this interview as much as Siona and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to one of our shows and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Siona and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was so compelling that you had to listen, but now you're hungry for more and you can also stand the sound of my voice, then please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any and every other major podcast platform to subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.